We like things to be within our grasp, and we like to control situations, and sometimes we even like to try to control other people too. And listen, that's not what God is wanting us to do. God is wanting us to trust Him and depend on Him. So as we look at His Word this morning, it was said that you can tell the size of your God by looking at the size of your worry list. The longer your list, the smaller your God. When we allow God to truly be God in our lives, it's amazing what He removes from us as well as the things that He gives to us. So this morning, let's understand that sometimes God removes things out of our life to give us other things. But oftentimes He removes things out of our life so that we learn to truly trust Him. A lot of times we say we have trust, but there's not much evidence of it if all the things in our life seems to be going well and we're really not dependent on Him. We're just doing life. So as we learn to trust Christ and lean on Him, the Holy Spirit begins to remove some things from us. He begins to remove some fear. He begins to remove some doubt and worry and anxiety and that feeling of needing to be in control of people and situations. Listen, when life seems out of control and life seems unfair to us, it really is beyond our control. That's when trust begins to show for God. We really begin to depend on Him because it seems like our back is against the wall. And really, trust in God is faith in full bloom. Trust in God is faith in full bloom. As we read in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8, we'll focus on two of those verses, but it's always important in God's Word that we keep everything in the context that it is and then make a life application of it. So the book of Proverbs is great wisdom. I've actually been doing a study in the book of Proverbs here lately, and just for my own personal benefit, just to grow deeper and deeper. And listen, you can read Proverbs and Psalms once a year and gain great insight from it. As we begin reading this proverb, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of man." Here's our key verses, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Let's pray together. Father God, today as we look to You for guidance and leadership, Lord, as we continue to endure this pandemic, God, we are lonely for one another as a church. God, may the church be even longing for You even more. Father, we pray that Your hand intervenes in our behalf. God, we pray that You touch each family who's listening this morning, who's watching this morning. God, You know their individual cares, concerns, and needs, and I pray today that they learn to depend on You and trust You even more. Teach us today, God. Holy Spirit, open our heart, open our souls up to You today. And Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, You just pour into us and grow us where You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's walk through a couple of verses this morning, verses 5 and verse 6 of this passage, and trusting the Lord. And that's the first thing that we look at in verse 5, the beginning. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So number one, if there were four things that we could look at this morning, the first one is this, is to learn to trust the Lord. underline that word trust. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Trust the Lord. Trust his faith in full bloom, which says. We're told from the writer of Proverbs to trust the Lord with all of our being, with all of our heart. Listen, that was considered the core of a person, of an individual, of their being, their heart. It wasn't just talking about the emotional side. It wasn't just talking about the thing that they long for, but it's really talking about that portion of them that governs everything. It's that command to us to trust God with that core principle of governing our lives. Love God first and love God most. Trust him to lead your life. Trust him to lead you. In saying that we love God because he first loved us, we also must express that love through trusting him completely. Trust and love go hand in hand. That's hand in hand in marriage. That's hand in hand in friendship and relationship. If you don't trust someone, you're really not really loving them. And if you say that you love them but you don't trust them, listen, there are some issues there. It's greater to be trusted than it is to be loved. And God is saying, because you love me and because I love you, I'm trustworthy. And God is trustworthy. Why do we have such a reservation about trusting God rather than most time we trust ourselves more than God? Why? How do we learn to trust God with matters and situations in our life? Well, a few things we need to remember about God. First thing is this: he is the foundation of all things good, and he is sovereign. That means all powerful. That God is the foundation of all things good. And he is sovereign, all-powerful. So if God is all-powerful and God is all-good, why would we not want to trust him? He has the ability to bring all good things into our life. God always has our best interest in mind. The Lord really does show us favor and goodwill. When he brought us into this world, he led us through the Holy Spirit, through regeneration, to receive Christ as Savior. And listen, he has blessed our lives with so many things. As we sit around our home today, we can look at, listen, we're saved, we're born again. Heaven is our home when we pass from this life. But even look around us, look at our families. Look at all the things that we have. Look at the home that we have. Look at the food we have to eat. We have all these things. We're truly blessed people. God is good. And he's sovereign over our situations. God knew this pandemic of COVID-19 was going to happen long before anybody else did. God saw it and he knew it. And he knew the results that would happen in our world. The second thing we can see about God is that God created us to be totally dependent upon him. God is good. God is sovereign. And when he created us to be dependent upon him. Most of the time, we want to be dependent on ourselves. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be self-dependent. We like to say that we did this and we did that. I went through college. I went through Votech. I created this business. I worked my way up the ladder. Me. We like to say that we are responsible for it. We're not. We can't even tell our heart to beat. We can't even tell our lungs to inhale and exhale. We can't really do much of anything. I mean, we can be responsible people and do the best that we can with what we have and work our way through life. But listen, it's all a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. God wants us to be totally dependent on him. As much as we think we are independent, we are actually interdependent on our Heavenly Father. God created us to be in relationship with him. That's what God created us. And we come in relationship with him through Christ Jesus. God has gone through some extreme measures. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection. We celebrated the cross. God has gone through extreme measures to be with us so that we would be dependent upon Him. In the big picture of life, we can't even exist without God's permission. Our heart wouldn't beat, our lungs wouldn't inhale and exhale, our brains would not do all these voluntary and involuntary functions. Our brains would not cue in reasoning and rationality and voluntary movements, such as standing and sitting and walking. I wouldn't be standing on this stage if God not had given me grace to stand on this stage. I would not be speaking and preaching this message to you about trusting God had He not given me grace to be here. Pastor Brian would not sing these beautiful songs of worship and exalting God to us. Listen, if God had not given him grace to do so, today, this morning, can we see that God is trustworthy? We can depend on him. The third thing we need to see is through God's goodness and mercy, he supplies our needs according to his will. God supplies all our needs according to his will. This is where we have a hang up, Christian. This is where we sometimes don't quite get it. And that's sometimes a hindrance for us truly trusting God, because we want God to answer our prayers our way. We want it. We're so selfish that we want God to give us what we want. Like he's a genie, we can just rub him and he'll pop out of a thing of smoke and just say, "Hey, whatever you want, it's there." But that's not God. So often we forget that God answers our prayers according to his will. God brings the things we need in compliance with his preordained providential plan into our lives. God does not give us everything we want or everything we think we need for our convenience and for our comfort. Matter of fact, we must understand that God is more interested in shaping us and molding us for greater things in his kingdom work than for our work on earth. God is more interested in doing things inside of us and changing us through all the things in this life. When we pray, that's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." Not Kevin's will be done. Not your will be done. God's will be done in our lives. Think about it. Sometimes God has to remove things from our life for his will to be done in our life. Listen, God may remove your health to save your soul in Christ Jesus. He may remove your sight in order for you to see the true beauty of life. He may remove your hearing in order for you to truly hear from him. He may remove your voice for your heart to learn to sing praises to him. God may remove your wealth. He may remove your job. He may remove your business. He may remove your financial means to humble your prideful heart to bring you into submission to him. Sometimes when we pray for our will to be done, God says, "No, nuh-uh." And we wonder why God is ignoring us. God's not ignoring us. He's trying to get us to break so that we begin to pray for his will to be done. Some of the greatest things and blessings we can have is unanswered prayers. That we pray and we pray and we pray for something that has never been God's will and God will not give it to us. And we finally just say, "Lord, I'm praying selfishly whatever you want, I want. And Lord, shape me to want what you want even more." And God may take everything in your life away so that all that is left is Him. Have you been there? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you truly are at a point that you feel like you're breaking. No, God has you exactly where He wants. He's removed things so that you begin to pray for His will. Listen, when you seek God and you seek His will, you'll be amazed at the things He brings, the people He brings around you to build you up, to mold you, to shape you where He wants you to be. It may be next year, maybe 6 months from now, maybe 5 years from now. God has a plan, and His plan is always right. The fourth thing we can see in this is we can trust God because His promises are true and His providence is unchanging. You can pray against God's will, but it's not going to change it. It's not going to change us. And His promises are always true. Listen, when God gave us promises, it's true. You can bet it's going to happen. God cannot lie. And His will is set for all eternity. Why would we not trust the one who already has a plan for your life, for my life? He already has that plan set in motion, and whose promises are true. Why would we not trust God? He's got the perfect pattern for our life, and the promises He has along the way, the things that His Word tells us, are true. Why would we not trust Him on that path? It may look scary. It may look uncomfortable. It may look a little inconvenient. There may be some things we have to sell off. There may be some things that we enjoy doing that we won't do anymore, because God has a better plan for His kingdom and the fulfillment of our purpose upon this earth. God is trustworthy. We must live, listen, with anticipation of God fulfilling His promises and His providential plan for the good of His people and His creation. Live with anticipation. What is God going to do next? What is God going to show us next? Listen, we're building a new church facility out there. I've been here 16 years. God put that on my heart years and years ago as a vision, and we began to save and begin to pull our resources together and present the vision to the church. Listen, God has been meeting needs and meeting needs, paying property off. Here we are, getting close to finishing this new facility out there. Oh, listen, when you just trust God, so God is just bigger than me. I don't know what it looks like, but God, I want to follow You. It's amazing what God will bring for your life, for my life, for His church, for His world. You can follow Jesus. The fifth thing, follow Jesus without doubt, fear, distrust, or self-reliance. Won't you just follow Jesus? Won't you just say, listen, Lord, I don't know where this is going, and I can't see the next steps, but Lord, I want to take the next step. That's called faith. You say you have faith, but you won't take a step. That's not faith. Faith is action. Faith is action. When you say you have faith, there has to be something there to back it up. That you're walking and you're believing and you're trusting God. That's faith. It's not what you hold, it's what you do. It's who you are. That you walk by faith. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Your entire being. Sandy said this. Says, trusting God does not mean believing He will do what you want, but rather believing He will do everything He knows is good. The second thing we see here, the latter part of verse 5 says, and do not lean on your own understanding. So the second point, if we had a point, would say, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Trust the Lord and lean on Him. So you can trust Him and then you can lean on Him to bring you where he wants you to be. Even though he's working in his entire world, he has you in mind. See, our finite human insight understanding, listen, that's never enough to comprehend what God is doing or what he's about to do. So let's just bring the meat to the grinder real quick here. Listen, as a church, we have been studying Revelation up to in March when all this pandemic started. We had been months and months studying Revelation, and we're getting to those last few chapters, and when we're back together, we'll finish the book of Revelation. But God has really shown us something. Do you remember in those seal judgments and those trumpet judgments, do you remember us talking about those partial judgments that God brought into the world? Those partial judgments that affected part of the world, part of the population, maybe a third, maybe a fourth of the population. We can see what we're experiencing today as one of those things that we've studied in Revelation. No, Revelation didn't name it by name because it's apocalyptic literature. And being that it's apocalyptic literature, it speaks to us in signs and in symbols. And we've evaluated those, and we've looked in the Old Testament, and we've pulled out some things that God has done in the past and how God has judged sin. Listen, today, this world has been enveloped in sin. And two things that we can always learn, that when God brings a judgment into the world, that is meant for this. It's meant to punish sin, but it's also meant to strengthen the church, to bring the church closer together, but it's also meant to call sinners into repentance. Those who do not believe into repentance, because God is showing himself to be a God who is just. Yes, God is a loving God. Yes, God is a gracious God. Yes, God is merciful, but God is also a just God. That he brings judgment and justice to this world because of the sin that's in this world. And when we're on the outside of being in the family of God or being in relationship with God, then we stand in judgment because of the sin that we hold in our life because we don't have Jesus to pay for it. Oh, listen today. What we see going on in our world today, we see as a fulfillment, as a partial judgment. During this end age between the first and second coming of Christ that Jesus spoke about and John wrote about in Revelation, the vision that he saw, we can see today a partial judgment that God can use and allow so many things in this world to bring the church closer and to bring sinners to repentance. But you know what Revelation 16 says? Because there are some people who will watch this and get just so angry, say, how can you say that? Because this is not popular preaching. But you need to read Revelation 16. You know what it says? That they hardened their heart and they would not repent. That they would not repent. Oh, listen. Our finite minds can't begin to understand what God is doing in this world. So why, if we can't understand it, but God is allowing it, why should we not trust God through it? This is his world. He's handling it like he wants to. We usually just focus on our current situations. We focus on the now. Yet God sees all of life, including your life. God knows what he's doing in his world. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. See, when we can't piece together the puzzles of our own life, remember, the best view of a puzzle is from above. Let him help you put it together. Amethyst Snow Rivers said that. God is sovereign. This is his world, and he's in control of it. But you only realize His supreme grace and guidance as you surrender to Him with all of your heart. We see in verse 6, as in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him. What does this acknowledge mean? Well, if we had a third point, we would say that we need to live in submission to God. That when we see the things happening in our world, we see the things that we're going through, we're told to trust the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not in our own understanding. What do? We live in submission to God. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. How do we acknowledge God in all of our ways? By living as people of God in submission to Him. Let God be God in your life. When you say that you're a Christian, Jesus is not only your Savior, He's your Lord. And being that He's our Lord, we are to live in submission to Him. Living in submission to God. Listen, the connection between acknowledging God in all of our ways is that we have a lifestyle of humble submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when we, by a conscious act of our will, submit ourselves to God, it is amazing how much easier it is to trust Him in situations that are uncertain. When we're living in submission to Christ, it's easier to trust God with all of our heart. Because we know He's ultimately in control of His world. He's ultimately in control of my life. He has a great plan that's set out before Him. And all I have to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You. By faith. I don't know what it looks like. It's a little scary. I don't know what's on the other side. But Lord, I'll take a step. In submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's too many times in church life, there's too many people who are saying, I am a Christian, but refuse for Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Refuse for Him to be the Lord of life. Listen, Jesus is Savior, Lord. They go together. If He's not your Lord, then He's not your Savior. If He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. He's not saying one or two. He's saying both. Jesus is Lord and Savior. We must make a conscious act of our will to submit ourselves to God. Conscious act of our will. May you be a living, breathing, dynamic movement of praise for God. For all the good and not so good areas in your life. May you just give them over to God. Say, Lord, here it is. Lord, You know everything about me. I submit myself to You, Father. Daily I submit myself because, God, the old me wants to take control of life again. I want to be in control. You want to be in control. God says, no, control is mine. Kay Arthur said it this way. She said, the will of God for your life is simply that you submit yourself to Him each day and say, Father, Your will for today is mine. Your pleasure for today is mine. Your work for today is mine. I trust You to be God. You lead me today, and I will follow. Oh, Christian, can you say that today? That you are really following God? That you're seeking more of Him, that you're honoring Him with every part of your being. Jerry Bridges said it this way. He says, above all else, we must learn how to bring our wills into submission and obedience to the will of God on a practical, daily, hour-by-hour basis. So it's not that you wake up one morning and say, Lord, I'm submitted to You today. Listen, it's an all-day thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing. Because so often, sin will catch you off guard. Someone will say something to you. Someone will catch you off. Someone will cut in line at you at the Walmart when you've been waiting 30 minutes to check out. there'll be something that happens to you. Listen, if you're not living in conscious submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be amazed at how fast you can try to take control back up over in your life. Submission to God. The fourth thing we could look at today, the latter part of verse 6 says, and he will make your path straight. So there's a promise that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding, but we lean on Jesus, we can see there's a promise that he will make our path straight. Living in submission to the Lord comes with a promise. What does that mean, make our path straight? Well, we are guaranteed that when we trust in the Lord and lean on him under the power of the Holy Spirit, he would lead us through life with grace and with mercy and with favor to accomplish in us exactly what the Lord has designed us by molding us and shaping us to be in his image. Because if we follow our path, listen, we'll go all over the place. We'll start over here and start over there and over here. We're all over the place. And we really never accomplish much of anything. We'll get off into sin. We'll get off into selfishness. We'll get off over here in gossiping. We'll get into sin. We'll get into so many things. And God's saying, listen, I'll make your path straight. Trust in me. Follow me. Submit yourselves to me. I'll make your path straight. Listen, in many situations, God chooses to remove the troublesome obstacles that seem to hinder you trusting God. Sometimes God will remove them. Oftentimes, God will leave them there. He allows us to endure the hardships in order to strengthen our faith and purify our faith and our motives to teach us to be victorious and as an overcomer in this life. So he'll make our path straight. And sometimes if there's an obstacle in the way, we want God to take it out so life will be a little easier for us. God's like, no, there's an obstacle there. Just go ahead through it. Because I'm wanting to do something in you through. Listen, I'm already in the obstacle. I'm already in the challenge. I'm already in the trouble. And I'm already on the other side waiting on you. I'll walk with you day by day, moment by moment through it. Trusting God to go through it. We want God to remove it, but God is trying to say, listen, I want to use this to shape you. Listen, it may be a health issue. It may be something that you wish God said, listen, why can't I just have a surgery or take a pill and be done with it? No, God is wanting you to walk through it. Because it's amazing how much character he builds. It's amazing how he refreshes your faith. It's amazing how many things he does through the most challenging obstacles in life. Think about it. Here lately, I've seen a lot of people posting their workouts at home. All sorts of things that they do to try to stay fit or to build muscle. And some have gyms at home, and some are just doing things with their own body weights. And some are running, some are jogging, some are bike riding. All sorts of things to stay in shape, to take care of the temple. Muscle needs resistance to grow and to stay healthy, to stay fit, to stay firm, to stay in shape. Muscle needs resistance of something. If you're just laying on the couch all day or sitting in the recliner, over time that muscle will get very relaxed and it loses its strength, becomes very soft. But when you're working out, there's some sort of resistance, and those muscles seem to stay in shape and maybe even build up. In our Christian walk, in our faith, is similar to that. Listen, if you're not exercising your faith and walking and following Christ, it's amazing how sluggish that faith will become. It would actually shrink in size, become very, very small. And God allows you to go through things so that you have to trust Him to lead you through it. Because He has something great in mind for you. He is trying to do something wonderful in your life. He will make your path straight. In other words, trust Him. He has a greater thing in mind for you than you do for your own self. And when you walk through it, it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your trust in Him. He molds you and shapes you because God has something great on the other side. I didn't go into ministry until I was 36 years old. Pastoring. I was shocked that later in life that God wanted to do something with me. But I look back over the things that God had removed from my life. Dreams that I had. Wants and desires that I had. Did it hurt? Yes. Was I upset? Yes. Does it still have a little sting, a little bite? Yes. But I see the greater thing that God is trying to do. And listen, God is wanting to do something in you, and sometimes He has to remove some things. But He makes your path straight for you. He keeps you and leads you and guides you where He wants you to be. That's the straight path. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything be prayerful, by prayerful supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God may change your situation. He may change the situation that we're all in right now very quickly. Yet God is far more interested in changing each one of us through our situation. Through the situation in your job and your family and your home, God is more interested in changing you than that. God is more interested in changing our world, people of our world, than changing our situation with it. Listen, God wants us to finally understand who He is and trust Him. Listen, now that God has all of our attention, what wonderful thing is He doing in your life? What great thing is He doing in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, maybe even in your relationships with your family, that immediate family that you have not seen much of in the last couple of years, and now you see them every day? What wonderful thing is He doing? What strengthening is He bringing to your faith? Because now it may be just you and Him and a computer screen. Maybe that's all. And you're saying, "God, what do You want from me? Where do You want me to go? Where do You want me to be? I'll follow. I'll trust You. I don't know what it looks like, but I trust You and I'll follow You. Make my path straight." David Nicholas said this. Says, "God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine." Right now, our world looks a little dark. With everything going on, there's many, many people losing their lives. There are many losing their jobs. Many who are having to readjust their financial income. Many are readjusting their relationships and readjusting things at home. It can look pretty dark out there, especially if you're staying at home a lot. But God is trying to get to you. He's trying to speak right here because there's something great and wonderful He wants to do in your life. Don't ignore Him. Don't turn it off. Don't get angry. Just say, "Lord, I submit myself to You. I've never had to trust You like this before, God, in all my life. You've got my attention. I trust You. I submit myself to Your Lordship for You to guide me, for You to lead me. And Lord, whatever you want me to do for your kingdom work, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to serve, I'll serve. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your child. Have your way in me. Let's pray. Father God, today, this message can be difficult to grasp because we say that we trust you. But oftentimes, God, our words are very hollow, very shallow. But God, when everything else is removed from us and it's just you, it's just us as an individual, God, we realize how totally dependent we are on you. How much we truly do need you every day. God, teach us to live in submission. God, teach us to acknowledge what you're doing in our world, even though we don't understand it, we can't comprehend it. God, that your word is being fulfilled in our world, even as we speak, and we're living through it, and you're still God on your throne, who's interested in us, who's interested in our family, who's interested in the things that's going on in our world and the difficulty we're going through. God, you are interested in those things. Yet, God, you're far more interested in changing us through it. Oh, Father, if there's people who are claiming Christianity as part of their belief, but yet they have not lived as part of your family, Lord, I pray today they would quit their backsliding ways, that prodigal life, God, and become, and Lord, just come home. And Father, maybe today as this world is experiencing this pandemic, Father, that they would look to you. And Lord, that they would leave sinful lives and repent, submit their will to your will, and become followers of Jesus Christ. God, have your way. Because your word leaves us a promise that you will make our path straight. Following you, Lord, is always the straight path. Be honored today, Lord, in everything we have said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.